And then we're going to get into the word. I'm going to keep you. I see them fans going 1,000 miles per hour. Don't break your wrist. So, Father, we thank you right now for what you're about to do, Father. We give you permission, Father. We submit as your sons and your daughters, Father. We sit before your feet as students, Father. We ask you to teach us, Father. We ask you to lead us. We ask you to guide us, Father. We ask you to instruct us, Father. We give you permission to father us, Abba. Nurture your ways into us, your thoughts into us, Father. You said, Father, that your ways and your thoughts are far from ours, Father. Far as the heaven is from the earth. So, Father, we come to you on today, Father. We sit before your feet, Father, and we ask you, Father, work in us your will and to do your good pleasure. Work in us your love, your ways, your word, Father. We appreciate you and we honor you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So, before I start, I often talk about the concept of spiritual, natural, spiritual. And I want you guys to be able to explain this stuff, okay? I often tell you, if you can't teach it, you don't know it. Amen? You need to stop some Christians out there and ask them, what does it mean to be born again? And they're going to be like, come to church. That lets you know they ain't been studying. And they ain't been in their word. You need to ask questions, because sometimes we just say stuff. I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit. What that mean? I don't know. I heard it at church, and I just said it because they said it. So we need to really, really know and study. And so when it comes to spiritual, natural, spiritual, it teaches us of the storyline of the Bible. Now, the Bible has a storyline, okay, which means that it has a narrative of events that happen in a certain sequence. All right. We're not just here for no reason. Okay. We don't just pick up that book and read that book and there's no thought to it. If the Bible says, as we think, so are we, then you know our Father's a thinker. All right. So he put a plan together for us to walk through the plan. And so when we talk about spiritual, natural, and spiritual deals with the first Adam. It deals with the Father's plan. He wanted to bring the family of God in through Adam. That was the first attempt to be spiritual. Adam fell. And because Adam fell, now creation is in a natural state. He died spiritually. He didn't die physically. He died spiritually. And because he died spiritually, now the world is in a natural state. Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, everyone in the Old Testament. No one in the Old Testament had the privilege of calling him father. Adam was the first son on earth, created in the likeness. That's why you have the first Adam, then you have the last Adam. The last Adam lets us know that he's the original copy in which the first Adam was created from. So if Adam does not fall, there is no New Testament, no Old Testament. Okay? If Adam does not fall, there is no Old Testament. But the Old Testament exists in the natural so that we can hear a figurative conversation from our Father. So in the spiritual, it is Jesus returning to earth or coming to earth to bring back the spiritual. So Adam lost the spiritual. Now we're in the Old Testament. Then the redemption plan is to bring us back into the spiritual. Amen. So the Bible is a storyline. The Father had a plan. We're not just here to go to heaven one day. We don't just exist to go to heaven. We exist to be sons and daughters here and now. And the end game of what the Father wants from us is dominion. Say dominion. He wants us to dominate the planet. So when you're talking about spiritual, natural, spiritual, you have the first Adam, spiritual. Then he falls. Now you have the lost Adams. Remember, there's two families on earth. You either part of the family of Adam, which means you're still lost, or you're part of the family of Christ, which means you are born again and now you are part of the body. So we have the first Adam, as then we have the lost Adam, then we have the last Adam. Amen. Now you have to understand this to understand the revelation of Jesus Christ. All right. Now give me my slide. You know, that's what you're doing now. Okay, I got you. You have to understand the revelation of Jesus Christ is sonship. Okay? The revelation of Jesus Christ is sonship. The lordship of Jesus Christ is sonship. The Father's plan is sonship. What he ultimately wanted was children in the planet, dominating earth just how he dominates heaven. This is his heartbeat. He did not put us here to play games with our life to see if you're going to sin and make it in one day. That is religion. And we have to get past being at the door. Jesus let us in. Jesus let us in. And understand that the revelation of Jesus Christ is what? Sonship. He died on the cross so we can have Abba back. And so we're going to walk through that on today. I know we usually do the stages of sonship, but I'm not going to do it today. And actually, before I go any further, I'm going to extend this series into the next month. Okay? I'm going to extend it into the next month. You ready for me yet? So I got to just keep freestyling. Hallelujah. But we're going to talk about the divine tense. And what a tense is, it indicates the time of an action in relation to the time of an utterance. Okay? So we're going to talk about the divine tense of Jesus Christ. As soon as they put the slide up, we're going to get there. Y'all almost there? Y'all forgot to put the media shot up, didn't y'all? Oh. Hallelujah. It's okay. This is why the Father said, be patient. We get to see your holiness now. Just be patient. All right? Everything gonna be all right. But I need you to learn and understand that spiritual, natural, then spiritual. How you doing, auntie? I need you to understand spiritual, natural, and then spiritual. If you understand spiritual, natural, spiritual, that concept, it covers all the Bible. Where we go wrong is we study the natural. We try to study the Old Testament and we try to make it literal to our lives. Not understanding that we are spiritual beings. Everything that it says in the Old Testament, you are not supposed to take it literal, but you're supposed to take it figuratively. For instance, you know religion loved this. When Miriam opposes Moses, I'm just talking to y'all right now, waiting on them, okay? When Miriam opposes Moses, she gets leprosy, okay? Now, in religion, what we like to do is we like to use that for the pulpit. Okay, and say if you do anything against the man of God, the woman of God, God gonna get you. But that is a literal conversation to them, but it is a figurative conversation to us. Amen. Now, how does this work? It lets you know that the moment you start to attack the body of Christ, it appears you'll notice that people stop messing with you. People will leave you alone, okay? Because people see the immaturity. So you're not going to really get leprosy, but what you're going to do is nobody's going to want to touch you. Okay, nobody's going to want to hear what you got to say because you're sowing discord. Amen. And so by you challenging a leader, God is not going to attack you. Touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm refers now to his body. Now that is for the world. Don't touch my children. That's not for the pulpit. That's for the body. That's a warning to those who are not of him. Don't touch my children. Now, I'm serious about my children. Okay, not only do I want you to say anything sideways to them, but you bet not put your hands on them. I know even the more the Father is with us. So a lot of times you don't have to protect yourself. You don't even have to take up for yourself. All you have to do is just walk in the things that he told you and he'll do the rest. Amen. He puts out the warning like a bat signal to the demonic. Don't touch my child. Remember we talked about the Greek word parizo. The Greek word parizo means to test and it means to tempt. So in the Greek, when you test someone, when someone is being tested, it's the Father. But when you're being tempted, it's Satan. So Satan, the Father allows Satan to tempt us. Why? So he can test us. What he ultimately wants to know is, where are we? Where are we in the path of dominion? Amen. So I say that so that we can stop. God get him. He's not going to get him. He's molding you. He's not going to stop it. He's molding you. They're going to talk about you because, look, if you haven't even walked in your purpose and you haven't even walked in your destiny and you can't deal with people talking to you, what you going to do when he puts you into destiny? If you don't have the mic and the stage and he hasn't given you the platform and you can't handle voices, then what you going to do when he gives you the assignment? Remember, Jesus was on earth as a son of God. His family didn't support him. The Bible said the whole city of Nazareth didn't believe in him. He could do no miracles. The most powerful man to ever walk the face of the earth could do no miracles because his family did not believe in him, because the city did not believe in him. His brothers tried to push him out there too early. The Pharisees is after him. The Sadducees is after him. The scribes is after him. Then he comes and tells us that you're going to be persecuted if they persecuted me. What is that letting us know? He's trying to make us strong. He's not interested in babying us. He's not interested in coddling us. The Bible, Paul came to the church and said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor. He didn't say, I'm going to get them for you. Vengeance is mine. I'll repay them. You stand. Having done all you can, just put on that armor. And if you look at the pieces of the armor, he's just letting you know, Zay, who you are. Put on the helmet of salvation, which means what? I have to understand what salvation is. Which means what? Satan is going to attack my mind. He's going to attack my mind. And if I don't understand salvation, he's going to win. Are you ready? He said, put on the breastplate of righteousness, which means if I don't know who I am and then I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, then it's going to pierce my organs. It's going to attack me. It's going to hit me in a place and I might not recover. He said, put on a shield of faith. It's not a literal shield, but he's letting you know that Satan has darts. He has different things that he likes to say and that he likes to do to you. And I'm going to let you know your faith is what stops it. Okay, they're ready. So give me my divine tense chart. I want to explain this to you before I get into teaching. So you have Yeshua, you have Jesus, and then you have sonship. Now, what you have to understand is that Yeshua is deity. He is, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Okay, this is Yeshua. Yeshua was with God in the beginning. Then the Bible said that the Word became flesh. So now we have deity incarnated. We have God incarcerated in flesh. Then we have the Son after the ascension seated at the right hand of the Father. Now, why do you need to understand this? Because we argue so much over names. All right, we argue so much over names. And what you have to understand is that Yeshua means God saves. Amen? Yeshua means God saves. Yeshua incarnated in flesh means Savior. You see the divine tense. So in heaven, he was God save. In eternity, he was God saves. But once he touched down in time and space, he became a Savior. Jesus means Savior. Yeshua means God saves. It's a divine tense. Now remember, a divine tense indicates the time of an action in relation to the time of an utterance. So Jesus coming to earth was a prophecy fulfilled. In the Old Testament, they prophesied that he would come. Emmanuel, God would be with us. When he came, he was revealed as the Son of God on earth in time and space. And now he's a Savior. After he dies on the cross, he becomes salvation. Now he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and this is the one in which the Bible says, as he is, so are you. As he is, so are you in this world right now. And so now he's back in eternity. So now he's letting you know from the position he is in heaven, so are you right now in the earth. This is not who you are. You're not like him right here. You're not like him right here. You're like him right here. Amen. So they prophesied that he would come. Then he came. He was a prophecy revealed. We see him in ministry. Then it becomes a message of him. This is why in the New Testament, Jesus did not call 12 prophets. Because he didn't need no one to prophesy about him. The prophecy had been fulfilled. Now it's time to teach what? Sonship. Okay. Y'all crazy. Now it's time to teach sonship. Because this is the plan. That's why I told you. Now, the revelation of Jesus Christ is not that Jesus is the Son of God. The revelation, it's a part of that, okay? The revelation is not, it's just he's the Son of God, but it's that he came to redeem sons. He came to bring us back into glory. So we act like the revelation of Jesus Christ is just he's the Son of God, and we leave it right there. And we act like that God is just his Father. But the whole time while he's on earth, he's letting them know that he's our Father too. When he told his disciples to pray, he said, pray our Father. Okay? In conversation, he told them, your Father. So the revelation of Jesus Christ, give me Galatians 1 and 11. So after Jesus has died on the cross and we have accepted the message of the cross, now it is time for us to be raised by our Father. Hence, this is the reason why Jesus kept saying, pray to your Father. Worship your Father. Glorify your Father who is in heaven. Because I know why I came. The thing is the church doesn't know why he came. The church thinks he died on the cross so we could be paparazzi Christians. So we can come to church every Sunday and thank him for dying on the cross again. How many times are we going to do this? How many times are we going to do this? Can you imagine you wake up every morning, thank you for dying on the cross. Okay, what's next? What's next? We know he died on the cross. We know he bled. We seen the movie. Now it's about sonship. So Paul, who had the assignment of raising the Gentile church. And the thing about the Gentile church that you need to understand is this, is that the Gentiles did not know God. They did not know him. So it had to be broken down from bread into crumbs. And it had to be explained to them. Because as the scriptures told us, Jesus told the woman at the well, he said, y'all worship what you do not know. So Paul comes to the Galatians church and he says, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel, okay, the good news is not Jesus died on the cross. The good news is the benefits you get because he died on the cross. Because he was on the cross, he said, it is finished. What's finished? Father, what you wanted done. Jesus didn't die on the cross for you. Jesus died on the cross because his father said, do it. He was not up in heaven saying, I'm going if you say it or not. Whether you say it or not, I'm going to die for them. The Bible says that the lamb was slain, watch this, before the foundation of the world. Before he said, let there be light, he had a plan B if Adam failed. This is how much he wants you. This is how much he loves you. He had a plan B. He had a plan B. He said, if Adam messed this up, I got something in the works for you. So Jesus died on the cross at the behest of the Father. Why? Said because he wanted me. So he says, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me, is not according to man. He said, I didn't go to school and get it. He said, I didn't sit in no classroom and get this. Verse 12, he says, for I neither received it from man. This is apostle stuff. This is apostolic stuff. Okay, this is why Jesus did not call 12 prophets. Because the purpose of the apostle is to deliver the message. Apostle literally means sent. Sent what? To deliver the message. To let them know you have a father. Well, we're going to get into that. He says, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it. But it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Once again, the revelation of Jesus Christ is sonship in its fullness. He didn't come to just die on the cross so one day we can get a seat in heaven. This is not about hell insurance. You don't come to church so you won't go to hell. You come to church because you want to be developed as a son or as a daughter. And in being developed as a son or a daughter, you want purpose. Come on, you want destiny. Now, ain't it strange that we got purpose, but they act like Jesus don't? So, in understanding the revelation of Jesus Christ, I'm going to bring out 3 points today, and I'm going to get out of y'all's way because I know it's hot. All right? The first thing I'm going to bring out to you is Jesus as a mediator. Okay? The second thing we're going to talk about is reconciliation. And then we're going to drive it home by giving you the understanding that Jesus came to bring many sons to glory. Y'all ready? So we're going to walk through scriptures. I'm going to give you study material today. 1 Timothy 2 and 5. It says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Jesus Christ. Y'all with me? There is one God, our Father, and one mediator between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ. Now, a mediator is one who intervenes between two to restore peace and relations. All right? So if me and Kenneth got beef and we're not talking to each other, KP, raise your hand, KP, so everybody knows you. Okay. KP will come and be our mediator. Now, the purpose of this mediation is not so when the mediation is over with, Kenneth is talking to KP, but he still ain't talking to me. The purpose of the mediation is not after the mediation, me and KP talking, but me and Kenneth still not talking. The purpose of the mediator is to get him to resolve the issue so me and Kenneth can talk. So Jesus is a mediator between God and man. He came to make sure that the conversation is now between with us and the Father. This is why he said, pray to your Father. Come on. This is why he said, worship your Father. This is why he said, your Father is seeking such to worship him. He didn't say he's seeking. Because he understood his role as a mediator. Amen. Verse 6 says, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now, you saw enough movies where somebody got kidnapped, somebody got abducted, and they want a ransom. I've never seen, even in a movie, when somebody worshiped the ransom. The ransom was the price paid to get the person back. The scripture said he gave himself as a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Verse 7 says, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. So this is my job to explain this stuff to you, to let you know that Jesus is a ransom and he's a mediator. This is why Paul in the 4th chapter of Galatians says, cry Abba Father. This is why he comes to the Romans and says, cry Abba Father. This is why he comes to Colossians and says, give thanks to the Father who rescued you from the domain of darkness and brought you into the kingdom of his Son. He's telling you just how it happened. He says, for which I was appointed to preach and an apostle. He says, I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Hebrews 6 and 8. It says, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Oh, we got the wrong one? It's okay. You got 6 and 8 instead of 8 and 6. Y'all heard it. I'll read it again. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant. So the blood that was shed on the cross was to enact a covenant, because a covenant could never exist without the shedding of blood. Something had to die. In the Old Testament, they had to kill animals and sprinkle blood on the people. Y'all don't want that, do you? Y'all come to church every Sunday and I sprinkle blood on y'all. Hebrews 9 and 15. It says, and for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgression. Under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of an eternal inheritance. Y'all with me? So he says, I'm the mediator for the new covenant. My bloodshed was to bring you back into a different contract. You're no longer under the old covenant. The scripture says we don't need a new covenant unless the old didn't work. It didn't suffice. Okay, now the Father is bringing us back into his eternal plan. So after Adam fell, the first covenant was the Adamic covenant. Say that's one. The second covenant was the Abraham covenant. Say that's two. Okay. The third covenant was the Noah covenant. Say that's three. I'm working with you. I'm going somewhere. The fourth covenant was the Mosaic law. Say that's four. The next covenant was the covenant he made with the Levites. Say that's five. Then the last covenant he made with the Old Testament was the covenant he made with David, that the Messiah would come from him. So the new, how many is that? Six. Now six is a number of man. It's a number of flesh. So the New Testament is the seventh covenant. It's the covenant of perfection. All right? But this is the covenant that brings us back into the first covenant. This is the covenant of redemption. I'm redeeming you. I'm bringing you back to the covenant that I had in mind before I said, let there be light. I'm bringing you back into my eternal plan of sonship. So the new covenant of sonship returns us to the first covenant. Now, he is the mediator. The job of the mediator is to reconcile us, is to bring us back into a relationship with the Father. This is what the new covenant does. All right, y'all with me? I know it's hot, but I'm the one doing all the work. So, as a mediator, he came to reconcile us back to Abba so that we could operate under the first covenant. Now, what you must understand about the first covenant is that it's a parental covenant. Y'all understand what I mean when I say that? It's a parental covenant, meaning this, that we didn't ask for this covenant. A parental covenant is a covenant that the parents make and the child is just there. So we did not ask to be born. This is his plan. I talk to him like this all the time. I say, I didn't ask to be here. I didn't ask to be here. This is your plan. I need answers. See, most people are scared to talk to him like that because they don't understand he's a father. And even the more they don't understand that we don't have a covenant with Jesus. Jesus is the blood that was shed so that we could have a covenant with Abba. We don't have a covenant. We are participants of a covenant. How many of y'all signed on a dotted line and came into agreement? Yeah, I'm going to do this. None of us. How many of y'all was in heaven and said, yeah, I agree to that covenant? No, you were just born in it. That's why I don't understand the whole conversation about heaven and hell. Hell is real. But hell is for people who do not want to be Abba's children. Hell is for folks who do not want to be Abba's children. Hell does not exist just to throw people in it. Heaven does not exist so that we can come there. That's not why it exists. It exists so that we can understand his world. Do you know that even in Revelation 22 that the Bible says that the new Jerusalem comes out of heaven and it's on a new earth? What does this mean? That after all this is said and done, we right back here, ruling and reigning. Amen? So we covered the mediator. Now let's cover the reconciliation. Now to reconcile means to return to favor. It means to receive into favor. It means to change mutually. Now when the Father gave Jesus, what you have to understand that he gave him as a propitiation, which means that when he gave Jesus, he appeased his own wrath on mankind. I tell you this often that the Father, that God gave away his sovereignty so that he could become a father. He relinquished his sovereignty. He relinquished his right to do whatever he wanted to do when he wanted to do it so he can be a parent. Just like us as parents, the moment you have children, you can no longer do what you want to do. The moment you have children, you have to take care of them. The moment you have children, you have to provide for them. The moment you have children, you just can't get up and go. You just can't leave. You can't abandon them because of their mistakes. It is now your job to take care of them. It is now your job to provide for them. So we have to understand this, that the death on the cross was bigger than us coming to heaven. It was so we can correspond and act with him in planet Earth right now. Y'all with me?
So the reconciliation is him returning us to favor, but it's also him receiving us into favor. The reconciliation is a mutual change. I need you to change because I've already changed. The death on the cross changed my attitude and my thought process towards you. Now, I need you to know, this is why Paul said, he said, perfect love removes fear, because fear involves torment. So after the death on the cross, now the release from heaven, the conversation from heaven by way of the Holy Spirit. I can't stand when people always somewhere, they hear something in the spirit, but they never hear the Father say, I love you. They never hear the Father say, I will never leave you or forsake you. They never hear the Father tell them to be love. Only thing we hear is, you did this wrong. Only thing we hear is sin. The only thing we hear is, you didn't make the right decision, so you know what, Sonny, I'm not going to bless you. Why is this the only thing that we hear? I'm going to tell you why. Because Satan is the king of orphans. When you give your ear to Satan, all you hear is what you're not doing. All you see is your failures. All you hear is your mistakes. Am I helping you? You tend to grade yourself. I told you, when we were born again, or when we came, before we came to the Father, how many of y'all, before you got saved, you were not sinning? I know it sounds like a stupid question, don't it? How many of y'all, before you got saved, you weren't sinning? So what you mean to tell me is that the Father decided he wanted you when you were a sinner. So if he knew you was a sinner, before he decided that he wanted you, why do you think he's only looking at your sin? I pulled you out the orphanage. I knew all your issues. I knew your bloodline. I knew what your daddy was doing. I knew what your mama was doing. I know the things that are connected with you. You got to understand that I was signed up to love you, love all that out of you. If he did not sign up to do that, then I'm a better father than him. Because if my wife decides she don't want to listen, you better listen. Okay. She said, your obedient wife, she always love. If my wife decides she don't want to listen, can I leave her? Okay. If my kids decide they don't want to listen, can I? What you smiling for? That's my daughter. If my kids decide that they don't want to listen, do I leave them? So why is it that the first moment that you don't do something right, that you begin to think he's abandoned me? Why is the church teaching that sin separates you from God? When the Bible said, where sin abound, grace abound even more. The better you are as a child, he said, I need to spend more time with you. But we've told people in the church that because you got that issue, God don't want to speak to you. I seen a preacher on one of them social media platforms, said that if you have sin in your life, God won't speak to you. I said, well, he ain't hearing nobody. He's not hearing nobody. Okay, because I told you, sin is not what we think it is. Sin is not smoking, drinking, going to the... That's not sin. That's you wasting your life. Okay? Sin has nothing to do with inanimate objects. Sin is of the soul. Sin is any action, reaction, or thought process that you have that is not like heaven, that is not like your household. Okay? My last name is Hardy. My name represents a certain thing. Okay, it represents holiness. It represents the Father's household. It represents love. All right? Anything that my children do outside of that is sin. just mean it's the wrong thing. It's the wrong way. You're going in the wrong direction. This is all sin is telling you, that you're going in the wrong direction. And as one of my mentors said, there's no benefit of speed if you're going in the wrong direction. So the Father knew you when you were 100% sinner. And he said, I chose you. You didn't choose me. I chose you when everything was wrong with you. So I'm not looking at you because you're a sinner. I'm looking at you because you refuse to be developed. I'm not looking at you because your issues, you had them when I pulled you out the orphanage. You had them when I adopted you. I'm not looking at the issues you had when I adopted you. I'm looking at your that you don't want to conform. You won't pray. Come on. You won't fast. You won't read the word. You won't fellowship. You won't study. You won't give. Everything I tell you to do, you won't do it. That's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at disobedience. I'm not looking at your condition. I knew the condition you were in when I chose you. And the fact that the scripture said that he adopted us, it lets us know that it now becomes his responsibility to remove it. That's why Jesus said, I would not leave you orphans. I'm going to come to you. Now, him saying that he would not leave us orphans said two things. It sounds like one. He said, one, I'm going to pull you out the orphanage. Secondly, he says, then I'm going to deal with your orphan issues. You never been loved. Watch this. I'm going to love the hell out of you. I'm going to love the hell out of you. I'm going to love your bloodline pure. The Bible says he has an everlasting love. Paul experienced with love said, the love of Christ is inseparable. He says, I'm going to love fear out of you. And this is why. Because on the other end, after the adoption, is dominion. And we can't dominate the planet thinking that he's not for us. Who sends us on an assignment and tells us to rule and reign, and every time we're looking over our shoulder, he's telling us something wrong with you, Cece. Why you can't get it right? What's wrong with you? That's what makes you passive. The Father wants you to walk in boldness. He sent Jesus as the example to show you this is what it looks like. Jesus was upset. Disciple said, show me the Father. Wait, have you not seen him? So, reconciliation speaks to Jesus coming to restore the relationship so we could hear the Father. And in hearing the Father, the Bible said God is love. He don't try to love. He is love, but he has to love us and he has to nurture life in us and he has to bring us to a place where Jesus said, I've given you power and I've given you authority. Jesus comes on the scene and tells his disciples, you are light. They were not light. They were not light, especially Peter. Judas was with him. He said, you are light. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are a city set on a hill. They were none of that. He was speaking into them. He was getting them affiliated and associated with their Father's voice. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Who's he? He's revealing the Father to them. Say reconciliation. Romans 5 and 10, it says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. He says, when we were enemies. Remember, God so loved the world. God so loved who? Do you know what the world means? Those who oppose his systems. Those who oppose his kingdom. This is not the Greek, this is not agape love. This is agapoa. This is an endearing love. This is a love that you give to somebody and you don't expect the love to come back. You're just there to conform them. He so loved the world that he gave his son. He didn't so love the church that he gave his son. The scripture says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled. He said, when we were enemies, he's reconciled us. He says, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. This is Paul teaching the church. Verse 11. It says, and not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. So Paul is preaching to them. He's teaching to them. And he let them know the reconciliation has already happened. You've already been reconciled. Now it's time for you to talk. You've been adopted. You've been brought home from the orphanage. And you've been brought right into a kingdom. You've been reconciled. I restored you to favor. I received you back in. This is mutual. And this is what Christianity looks like in heaven. He's looking at you like you don't even know where you are. Imagine adopting a child, bringing the child home, and you're a king. And you bring the child in the household, he's looking at the kingdom. This is why he said when you're born again, you should see the kingdom of God. You should see the benefits. Look at what Jesus said about the prodigal son. When the prodigal son came home from having wasted his life, from having wasted his inheritance, on the way home, he says, I don't deserve to be your son anymore. I want to be a servant. The moment he says that, when he approaches his father, the father does not even respond to him. The first thing he does was speak to the servants, get the boy a robe. What is he trying to do? Return him back to a mindset. He's trying to return him back to a mindset. I don't deserve to be your son. How many of y'all ever felt like that? I don't deserve to be your child because of the mistakes I made. He did not say anything about the mistakes. Do you know mistakes is a part of growing up? If you don't, get some children. Do you not know mistakes are a part of growing up? So he receives him back in the house and he said, I don't deserve to be your son. Look what he got. Look what he got here for wasting his inheritance. He got a robe. He got rings. He got sandals. And they threw a party. Let me slow down. He got a robe. This is what the baptism of the Spirit looks like. He got a robe, he got rings, he got sandals. And he said, go get the best of the best. And he didn't say go get spam. He said, go get the best of the best. And we're going to celebrate him. He said, because my son was dead. He wasn't dead. Now he's alive. He wasn't dead. He was out of the habitat that he belongs in. He didn't really die. This is Adam. He didn't die physically. He wasn't dead physically. But spiritually, you are dead when you are not able to receive the things the Father has for you. When you don't want to pray, you're dying slowly. When you don't want to read the word, you're dying slowly. When you don't want to participate in his program, you're dying slowly. He said he's lost, but now he's found. Hold on. He found his way home. He knew where he lived. How was he lost? His soul had to be returned to understanding who he was. Son, I know you did that wrong. The Bible said that on the way home. Now remember, Jesus is telling this story. This is sonship. He didn't even get to the front door. He didn't get to the front door. He didn't even make it that far. He didn't get that far. The Bible said the Father came to him. The Bible said he jumped on him and hugged him. Immediately trying to do what? Deal with his mind. Yeah, I know you made the mistakes. I know you did that. But that's not what I'm looking at. I'm looking at your spiritual development. This is why Satan tries to keep you bound by every mistake. He don't want you to see that the Father is not looking at the. He knew mistakes was going to happen. That's why he gave a sacrifice. He gave a sacrifice because he knew you had some idiot in you. He knew you don't listen. He know you hard-headed. Some of us, he know it's going to take you about 15, 10 years to get this. He already know. We're going to pray after this that you get it sooner. But he already knows that this is what it's going to take to convince you and get you to see. Ephesians 2 and 14. It says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation." Verse 15, "having abolished in his flesh enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace." So the reconciliation was to one tear down a wall between y'all. The Bible says after he died on the cross, the veil was torn from the top. It was torn from the top, so we can't say man did it. It wasn't no scissors going up. He tore it from the top down. And then the scripture says that he abolished in his flesh enmity. So that means once Jesus died on the cross and said it was finished, that means that the law was done away with. And we were now under grace because we were his children. We were now no longer judged by if we made mistakes. We were now judged by if we wanted to be his children. That's the judgment on mankind. It's not the sin that you're going through. It's the fact that you don't want to be his son. And you don't want to be his daughter. And you don't want to walk in his ways. Sin is a natural course of life. Adam left all of us in it. Most people don't even know what sin is. We think sin is alcohol. Don't drink, okay? I didn't tell you to drink. I don't want you to say apostle said. Apostle did not say you can drink. I did not say that. I just said no inanimate object is sin. Jesus said there's nothing you can put in your body that defiles you. It's what's coming out you that defiles you. It's not what you're putting in you. It ain't the swine, okay? It's not... That's not what defiles you. Food does not defile you. It's your heart. It's your bloodline. It's the way you think about you. It's the way you see you. It's the way you see others. It's the hatred. It's the strife. It's the malice. He's not working on your outer man. This ain't reformation. This is restoration. He's not working on giving you some new clothes so you can look fresh. Fresh never. He's working on your heart. He's working on your mind. He's working on your soul. Because that's what a sin is. The sin is in your soul. The sin is in your heart issues. The sin isn't how you think, it's your imagination. That's why we tell you often, guard your eye gate, watch what you watch. This is why I tell you, you're going to have to go on a 6 month. You're going to have to take 6 months of your time. Y'all know what I'm about to say, right? You're going to take about 6 months of your life and detach from everything. Don't play the movies. Don't listen to the music. Don't play the movies. Detach yourself. Clean your ears out. Cleanse your eyes, because Satan comes in through your eyes. I was telling my son, I said, when we grew up, son, how can I say this and not? I was telling him, when we grew up, as young men, we were horny if we seen a woman in a bathing suit. We didn't have all this attachment to. We were trying to watch Skin of Matter. Y'all remember the movie on this? It barely come on, and you trying. Now, Satan has full-fledged released pornography. What is he doing? He's trying to kill your imagination. He's trying to give you a picture that you don't need to see. He's trying to feed your soul. He's trying to. We feed our country, feeds our children lust. It's in our music videos. It's in our movies. We gotta have a sex scene. Do we have to have a sex scene? What is they trying to do? They're trying to feed our soul lust so we have an appetite for it. You listen to the music. The brother talking about bring her and your friend. You don't understand what's happening. Because as soon as you go to get married and she do something wrong, you looking for. The music is telling you a pimp. Soon as she don't do something you like, she up. It's feeding your soul. So he said, it ain't about what you put in your mouth. It ain't about what you eat. It's not about what you drink. He said, everything you do, do it in moderation. Don't drink. I'm not telling you to drink. I did not tell you that. But sin lies in the condition of your soul. It's not in what you eat. It's not in where you go. But watch this. Where you go shows your maturity. It's certain artists, I can't listen to them. Not that I can't listen to them. Meaning, when I go to listen to them, I almost vomit. I feel sick in my spirit. Amen? It bothers me. Okay, let me get back to this. Verse 16. It says, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death enmity. So the reconciliation was not only to bring you back into relationship with the Father, but the reconciliation was to bring you back into the family. I told you the only reason why the Bible exists is because God wants to be a father. God wants children, and God wants a family. And it is through his children and his family he wants to dominate the planet. He can do nothing in earth without man. Because he said, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them rule the earth. The moment he said that, he can do nothing without a human permission. That's why he said, pray. If God came into this planet today, he'd destroy everything. That's how holy he is. So he can only come in through man. That's why he had to send Jesus. That's why Jesus had to be in flesh. So he can do nothing in this planet, watch this, without you. He can do nothing in your family without you. He needs somebody to represent the household. And from a household, he needs that household to represent the neighborhood. In that neighborhood, he needs a neighborhood of people to represent him in community. He needs a community of people to represent him in the city. Okay, after we take the city, now he needs us to represent him as a city so we can win the state. From state, he needed us to win this state and win this state. And this is why he said, I need a holy nation. He said, you are a holy nation. Sonship. Second Corinthians 5:17. I'm going light today. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, what'd that say? If anyone is in Christ, you are a new creation. I'm going to explain that to you, and we're going to keep moving. That means that the earth, once you are born again, the earth has never seen you. You are something the earth has never seen. The earth saw you in your sinful state, but they've never seen you in a righteous state. The earth has seen you in a demonic state. They have seen you under Adam, but they have never seen you in Christ. So he says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. He's talking to orphans. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Okay, verse 18. It says, now all things are of God. What that say? Who has what? To who? Through who? Oh. So all things are of God, who reconciled us to himself. To himself. Jesus didn't reconcile us to him. To him. We're not reconciled to Jesus. That's a difficult one. I just slapped the religion out you. He reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Say, what does that mean? I'm glad you asked. Verse 19. It says, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Did he say it again? God was in Christ. This is DNA. This ain't physical. This ain't saying the Spirit was in Jesus. No, no, no. This is DNA. This is saying the Father was in the Son, reconciling the world unto himself. Then it says, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Which means that once you're in the family, Zay, it's now your responsibility to go tell somebody, God is your Father, and he wants to father you. This is the word of reconciliation now. You just stop everybody you see, Marcus, and say, you know God is your Father? And everything that's going wrong in your life is because you won't let him father you? Some of y'all laugh when I said that. Do you know everything that's going wrong in your life is because you won't let him father you? Everything, I'm going to say it again. Everything that's going wrong in your life is because you would not let him father you. Jesus says you have to lose a life to gain one. He said if you keep your life, you lose the one in Abba. If you decide, I want to be Janasia Salter, I don't want to be who Abba called me to be, you might have some nice stuff here on earth, but it ain't compared to nothing what he wanted to give you. Anytime the Bible tells you that you are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Now, had he said you are heirs of Jesus and we are joint heirs of one another, we is some confusion there. He says we are heirs of God, which means that we are his inheritance. The whole purpose of the adoption process in the reason why they used when Paul came to the Roman church, you have to understand that in the Roman church, the only reason why In the Roman culture, the only reason why they would adopt someone is because they wanted to leave an inheritance. They weren't adopting kids like now, we just want a child. The purpose of the adoption was because they wanted to leave an inheritance. I have too much stuff and I need to leave it to someone. That's how Abraham got Isaac. He said, I don't have an inheritance. Then he went and lay with Hagar. And he told him, he's still not going to get the inheritance. But the inheritance I'm going to give you is going to be from the seed that comes from Abraham. Come from Sarah. So the only purpose of Father of God adopting you and bringing you into the family is because he wanted to give you everything that belongs to you. And you have no idea what belongs to you. The Bible says the lamb was slain from the foundation of the world to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, glory, honor, and blessings. That's the sevenfold inheritance. Jesus died so you could receive power. That's part of your inheritance. Jesus died so you can receive riches. He wants you to have money. Matter of fact, he don't just want you to have money. He wants you to be rich. He want a whole body full of Elon money with Elon, like Elon Musk. He wants you to have money. It's not that he doesn't want you to have money. He just wants you to get it from him. He wants you to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness so he can add it to you. He don't want Satan to make you rich. That's why the Bible says he's jealous. He's jealous when you go get your money from somebody other than him. This is why people have money issues when they come into a good church. Because he's trying to get you off of that system. He's trying to get you into purpose and destiny. Because he does not want you building Satan's kingdom. This is what was going on in Egypt. This is when they rescued him. He rescued the children of Israel from Pharaoh. They were building Egypt. He sent Moses, let my people go so they can come out here and worship me. At the end of the 430 years that they were in bondage, the Bible said that their shoes wasn't even wore out. Their clothes wasn't even wore out. And they left with their gold and silver. He's trying to bring you out of bondage into Goshen. So the Bible says he's a jealous God. He's a jealous father. You can go get 10 more degrees. It ain't going to work. You can have more degrees than a thermometer. It's not going to work. You don't need any degrees to get what he wants to give you. If he needs you to get a degree, he'll tell you, go get this degree. That's why Jesus is the example. Jesus didn't have none of the stuff we try to go get and had everything. He didn't try to get any of the things that we chase. He was not trying to get a high position in the corporation so that everybody could know him. He went 40 days in the wilderness, fasting, praying, came out and everybody knew him. Because he came out walking in power. Wait, that's part of the inheritance. You don't need riches when you can tell your partner to go fish and get the tax money. You don't need riches when you can take a little boy lunch and feed 5,000 people. This is why he said, be spiritually minded. Don't seek earth, seek heaven. You working too hard. All your work should be done in prayer. After you get out of prayer, you get instructions. Go do this. The issue is we do stuff and we ain't pray about it. We spend no time in prayer and we just looking for jobs. What if he wants you to own the company? In my consecration, the Father told me this. I'm almost done. In my consecration, the Father told me this. He said, I want you to pray. And in prayer, I'm going to talk to you
and I want you to write. He said, after you write, then I want you to read. You know why he did that? Because as soon as we start thinking about business, riches, and money, we start going reading people books. "15 ways to be successful." Ain't none of them got prayer in it. "10 ways to be successful." None of them say seek the kingdom first. Jesus said, your Father knows what you need before you ask. Jesus said, he feed the birds. He said, he clothed the grass. He said, don't worry about what you're going to eat, you're going to drink, or you're going to wear. Them the three things that you stressing about them right now. This is sonship. There's a conversation of reconciliation. We're just not ministering it. The Father said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow got its own issues. Worry about today. Am I helping you? I know this stuff you know, but you don't know. I know this stuff you heard, but you ain't hearing it. You feel me? You heard it, but you're not hearing it. What I mean is, I can say this a million times, it's when you're in a situation that you need to hear it. Let he who has an ear hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So there's a conversation going on in the world, and then there's a conversation going on for the church. There's a spirit of darkness that is speaking into the world, hustle, get that money. Then there's a spirit that the church should hear saying, seek first the kingdom. Your Father knows what you need. Pray. Now, I'm going to say this, and you're going to leave, and you're going to still go do it. You know why? Because this is what the purpose of sonship is. You have to be developed into this thing. You got to try it and see it don't work. You got to keep trying to see it don't work. And as a leader, I'll watch you. I watch you. I watch people try to do the same. It ain't going to work. I told Pastor Kirby, I said, bro, when you talk about your business plan, tell people first how much you prayed. This brother was in the closet for 10 hours getting a business plan. Come out and tell him the business plan. No. Tell him what you did in the closet. It was the closet. It wasn't the plan. Because when you go in the closet, you're going to get a different plan. And you come out here, his plan, and you go try to do it, and it don't work. Because that's not your plan. You have to go and get the business plan from heaven. Heaven would tell you, you're an author. Write books. Heaven would tell you, you're in real estate. Go do it. Heaven would tell you, you're a venture capitalist. Go. Heaven will give you inventions. Heaven will boost your creativity. They'll tell you what to do with music. It'll tell you you're supposed to be a doctor. You're supposed to be a lawyer. But you're supposed to hear that from heaven. You're not supposed to look at everybody else and what they're doing. Say, I'm going to try what you're doing. You are wasting your life. Okay, I done got off track. I apologize. Verse 20. It says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf.
to be reconciled to God. Y'all see this? Now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God was pleading through us. Go tell your siblings, come home. If you don't hear nothing else, by the spirit of evangelism, you in a grocery store, you know God your Father? And let him take it from there. It says, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God was pleading. Open your mouth. Pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to your heavenly Father. This is sonship. He reconciled us. He brought us back into the family. With the intentions of what? Raising us up. With the intentions of what? Nurturing life into us. With the intentions of what? Giving us purpose. Amen? So sonship is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it's the apostolic assignment of the church. And this is where the church gets off, because you don't have an apostle. Anywhere you have a church and you just have a pastor, you will have low-level revelation. They'll have a heart for the people, but they won't have a conversation about sonship. They won't know the Father. Anywhere you have a church where it's just an evangelist, the only thing they can do is lead you to the cross. Anywhere in church you have a prophet that's running the church, only thing they can do is teach you how to prophesy. But it has no apostolic to it, so you keep saying, thus said the Lord. Because you don't understand the prophetic culture. We don't need prophets to hear for us. We don't need prophets to hear for us. We need prophets to teach us the prophetic culture. We need prophets to teach us how to hear the Father's voice. How to see what the Father's doing. We need prophets to teach us how to exhort in the body. How to comfort people in the body. How to edify the body. Not how to find out. She got the Jezebel spirit. That ain't where you get that from. See, the thing about prophecy that people have to understand, that prophecy is not just hearing from God, but it's seeing into a realm. So when you are prophetic and you have a gift, you see the light, and you see the darkness. So you can see darkness on people. But the proof that Abba is the one that showed it to you is that he gives you a protocol of love on how to deal with it. Maybe she is a Jezebel, but maybe she's trying to come out of it because it's generational. Maybe he does have this issue, but don't everybody in the church got a issue? Who showed up here today with no issues? Who showed up here today with no problems? Who showed up here today with something you not working on? Everybody. So we don't need the prophet to teach us. The Lord is telling me to what? We don't need you to tell us what the Lord is saying. And most of the time when a prophet prophesies, it should be something that that's confirming in you. If you've been spending time with him. So we don't need, I've seen them jokers on TikTok talking about what's going on in the churches that they quiet in the prophets. They need to shut up until they get an apostolic agenda. Teach them how to hear from their Father so they can stop trying to come to you. They need to hear Abba. They don't need to hear you. This is how the church stays at a baby state. We had a whole group of people that just running the prophets. They're just running the prophets. I need to get a prophetic word. What do you mean? Do you hear what I'm teaching you? And then the prophet go and tell them, you're going to be a millionaire. Now they leave the church to go pursue money. Because the prophet couldn't tell them their stages of sonship that you got to walk through. And that as you walk through those stages of sonship, your ear is tuned to the Spirit. So even if he gave you $1 million right now, in 5 months, you'd be broke. Nevertheless, he wouldn't do it because he would never give an infant. Come on, how many of y'all give an infant $1 million? If you gave an infant $1 million, you know what it'd be called? A trust. Meaning what? They can't touch it until they mature. This is what he says when he says, I have blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are already blessed with everything you need to pursue everything that you have to do in this lifetime. Paul said, my God will supply all your needs. So what that means, eh, is this. It means that whatever he called you to do, you need to get it done. So if he called you to be an artist, you need studio time. You need an engineer. He said, I supplied that. You need an audience. You need a fan base. I supplied that. I supply all your needs. You, whatever you called to do, this ain't humans. This ain't the human side of it where it's just food, shelter, and water. He said, my God will supply all your needs, all of your needs. So I said, I'm sending you back to school. That means I'm paying for it. I want you to be a lawyer. That means I'm paying for it. My God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, which is married to the simple fact that he's blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, but it's in Christ Jesus. So the more you grow into the maturity of Christ, the door open for you. The more you seek his face, this is why Jesus said, ask, not seek. This is why he said, pray without ceasing. Because the more you seek his face and the more you mature in his presence, he says, I can give that thing to you. But this is what's going on in the church. We don't want to pay the price for it. So we're going to bypass him and try to go through any physical means to go get it. I'm sorry, y'all, apologize for this. For teaching y'all like this. Because once you know, you know. You can't. The bad thing about coming to a church that teach purity and teach purely is you know now. You're no longer ignorant to it. You have to pray. I told y'all this week I'm opening a prayer line. From 4 a.m. to noon, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Because you have to learn how to pray, not just pray in the Spirit, but pray into the Spirit. You have to learn how to get there and get to the place that you come out carrying something. You have to learn how to pray into the Spirit to the place where your ears are tuned to heaven. So no matter what transpires in your life, you hear him. Can you imagine Jesus in this planet, all the noise? He was keen. He was tuned into heaven. So much that he knew when somebody touched him the right way. He said, who touched me? He said, everybody bumping into you. He said, no, they took power from me. They took virtue. Everybody praying, but who's extracting virtue? So Jesus died on the cross as a mediator, and as a mediator, he reconciled us, but this is why he reconciled us, family. Hebrews 2 and 10. It's my last passage of scripture, and I'm out your face. It says, for it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing what? Many sons to glory. So the death on the cross, the mediation and the reconciliation, after all that is said and done, Jesus is now a king maker. Jesus is now a Lord maker. Why? Because now he's participating in sonship with us. It says, for it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. This is why Paul said he predestined us to conform. He got the understanding. Verse 11, it says, for both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all one. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them family. Verse 12, saying, now this is Jesus, I will declare your name to my brothers. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing your praise. Verse 13, he says, and again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. He gave son, Jesus, the responsibility of bringing many sons to glory. This is the ministry of reconciliation. You got to bring somebody to glory. Somebody has to see your light and come to him. Somebody has to see you functioning and operating in sonship and come to, through you to him. So now that Jesus is not on earth, the body of Christ is the mediator between God and man. The body of Christ is the one that carried the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. So he said, because y'all have flesh and y'all had blood, I put it on too. To show you, to exchange it with you. So because I'm Yeshua, I came from heaven to put on flesh and blood. So that when you are born again, we're just alike. There's no difference. Verse 15. Stay right there. He said, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. So his death on the cross destroyed the devil. So the devil didn't do it. The devil didn't do it. Jesus said, all power has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. It ain't the devil didn't do it. It was your lack of participation in sonship that did it. It was the fact you didn't understand your own identity that did it. It was the fact you did not know God as a father that did it. It wasn't Satan that did it. The Bible said he's as a roaring lion. Meaning if you see him in the spirit, he a puppy. If you see him in the spirit, he a lion with no teeth. He's as a roaring lion. That's a simile. He's not a roaring lion. He's as a roaring lion. The Bible said when we see Satan, we're going to say, is that the one that caused problems in the earth? You know, back in the day, we used to watch them movies and they had Mr. Big. And when you pull the curtain back, the dude came out real short. And you're like, this the dude that run the whole city? Satan has no power. The only power he has is the power you give him. He said you can't, you agreed. He said you're going to fail, you came into agreement with it. He said you was powerless, you agreed that you were powerless. He has no power. Verse 15. It says, and released those who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Verse 16, It says, for indeed, he did not give aid to angels. But he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Not seeds, the seed. Everybody who's born again. My job is to aid you. So what you have to understand is that the same Christ that was in Jesus when he walked the planet is now in you. The same Christ that the devil bowed down, that the spirits bowed down to, said, we know who you are. You are the Son of the living God, is the same one in you. The same Christ is in you that said, be healed. It's the same Christ. The same Christ who disappeared through the crowd. It's now in you. That's why he called us the body of Christ. We're not the body of Jesus. Jesus was the flesh. The same Christ that you see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's why he said have the mind of him. Why would he tell you have the mind of Christ if you don't have a spirit? Why would he tell you to think on a level that you can't function in spiritually? Am I helping you? Verse 17, it says, therefore, I want y'all to read that. I'm tired of reading. Y'all get that? It says, therefore, in all things, remember, you're a joint heir. As he is, so are you in this world. Not as he was, as he is right now at the right hand of the Father, so are you right now in this world. It said, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren. So there's no difference between him and us if you're born again. There's no difference. In all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. Now, the thing about the high priest, you have to understand that in the Old Testament, the high priest went in for the people. Now, they didn't send somebody that was not human in there. The angel couldn't go in there for him. It had to be another human. So in order for Jesus to be a faithful high priest, he had to be like us in every way, or it didn't make sense. So reconciliation was to get us to talk to the Father. Hence, pray to him, worship him, glorify him, be perfect of him. Why? Because there was an ultimate expectation, was Romans 5 and 17. It's my last scripture. It says, for if by one man's offense death reigned through one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life. Not might, will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So this is the ultimate expectation. The ultimate expectation that after I am born again, that I now grow in sonship. And that in growing in sonship, that I now live a life in which I reign. Not barely get by. I reign. Not in sickness. I reign. I don't have mental health issues. You know why we have mental health issues in America? Because we're created in the image and the likeness of God. And our thoughts and our ways are so far from his that we're sick. This is why we have mental health issues in America. Because he created us a certain way, and we don't think according to how he created us. we don't see ourselves as he said we are. So we don't speak according to how he says we should be speaking. We were in here praying about healing. And I had to tell people, I don't know how many times I had to tell y'all we were in here for healing. I said, stop praying for healing. Father, in the name of Jesus, we request, be healed. But we're so used to having to beg that we don't think on that level. By his stripes, you are healed. But is that a thought process? Jesus being rich became poor, that through his poverty, we might become rich. Let me find a job. He said you should be rich. Let me barely make it. He said you should be rich. We don't think his thoughts. The Bible says his thoughts and ways are far from ours. As far as heaven is from the earth. So what do we have to do? We have to ascend there. How do we do that? Through prayer. How do we do that? Through fasting. How do we do that? Through studying the word. And you know those are three things that Christians hate doing? We hate prayer. We hate studying. Let me come in here one day and be like, let's pray for 10 hours. After an hour and a half, I start walking. I got stuff to do. Because we don't want to pray that long. We don't want to spend that much time in the presence. I'm talking to you now, ain't I? We don't want to spend that much time in the presence. We don't want to spend that much time in the word. We don't want to give. We don't want to fellowship. We don't want to forgive. We don't want his mind. We don't want his ways. The church doesn't want that. We just want to live our life and do what we want to do. And this is why the church is where we are now. This is why mental health. You know, one of the embarrassments, and I'm going to let y'all go. One of the embarrassments of Christianity was during COVID. During COVID, the church shut down. During COVID, the church shut down. The ones who are supposed to be healing found out that there was sickness, and we closed the doors. Is that not the time to shine? Is that not the time to prove that our God is real? But when COVID hit, we shut down. I'm going to say something, and I don't want y'all to get mad at me, okay? I'm going to say something. I want you to get mad at me. 90% of the church in therapy. My wife a therapist. I'm telling you. Ain't nothing wrong with therapy. Get you somebody to talk to. But most of the church is in therapy because his thoughts are far from ours. Most of the church is in therapy because we did things our way, and now. All right. We have to hear by the Spirit. Amen. We have to learn how to hear by the Spirit. So we're going to do something for about 5 minutes. I want everybody to go in meditation mode. Okay.